Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, yesterday I began an introduction or laying a foundation, if you will, for a message I'll be preaching these next few days on Thy Kingdom Come. That is, those are some words that are actually taken from the Lord's Prayer. And we looked at the Lord's Prayer yesterday. And it begins this way: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It begins by praise and worship to the Father. And then in verse 10, this is found in the sixth chapter of Matthew that I'm reading from, Jesus said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the remainder of that prayer, that short prayer, then goes to praying for our individual needs, our provision, the things we need spiritually as well as physically. And it ends in praise. But what I'd like us to focus on is what Jesus said that we were to do regarding prayer, that we were to pray, God's kingdom come. And so this is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at some principles that have been established in the Word of God. The church has already been given the directives from the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we found out the last words of Jesus, his directive was to preach the gospel, which means every one of us are living epistles, if you will, of the Word of God, and as God opens opportunities for each of us, that we are to share the good news of the gospel. And then, secondly, we are to pray. This is what Jesus said. The disciples were asking, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so he specifically, in that second verse, he describes what we should do regarding the will of God. Yes, he directed actually more time to that our own needs would be met, but that came first, God's will in the earth. And then as we read the New Testament, Paul was wonderful to warn us that and remind us that we are in spiritual warfare. He said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we are to wage effective spiritual warfare. Jesus promised us the good news that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So, and also finally, there's like four pillars, if you will, on which we stand. That's the platform, if you will, of our godly assignment. And fourthly, we are to what? Occupy until I come. That's what Jesus said. And so, what is the definition of occupy? It means to busy oneself with work, matter, or business. So what are those four pillars, if you will, the directives that the church has been given? We're to preach the gospel, we're to pray, and to pray not only for our own needs, of course, but first and foremost, thy kingdom come. We're to pray for the will of the Lord to be accomplished on the earth. Thirdly, we need to address the spiritual warfare that we are in. He's given us the armor of God and all that is needed, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and we are assured that if we stand on God's word, as Jesus did when the enemy attacked him, we will be victorious. And fourthly, we're to occupy. In other words, we are to be busy doing these very things, to be a witness to the gospel of Jesus, to pray, and to take authority over the works of the enemy, not only against us individually, but our loved ones and for the body of Christ, for the church in the earth. So these are the directives that God has given us. And where I'm basically going, and I'll give you an oversight, it's going to take a while because there's a lot of detail I want to share with you, beautiful examples from the Word of God. We are given the directive to take the kingdom. We are to do the things. He says, pray thy kingdom come. He's given us ways in which we can do that. The kingdom of God suffer the violence, and the violent take it by force. And this is, of course, not to set up an earthly kingdom. What our work is in the spirit, it's also in a very practical way, but we are not. The church isn't going to set up a beautiful kingdom for Christ when he can come back and it'll be all ready for him. No, we're not going to do that. What we are doing is preparing for the return of the King of the King, a King of Kings. Jesus alone will set up his kingdom when he comes. But there are various principles that I'm going to be delighted to share with you, which are found in the life of David, which is a type of Christ. And as far as establishing the literal natural kingdom of Israel, it was greater under David's reign than any other time. There was unity. He dislodged satanic strongholds. We're talking, this was natural warfare, but we're going to relate it to our lives. There was spiritual warfare. And then there was the restoration of true worship. This is what that pattern that is beautifully portrayed in the life of David is also the pattern that we can follow today. So that's just where we're going to be going. But I would like to begin today sharing some spiritual principles that were in operation with Israel under the Old Covenant. How did God deal with his people, Israel? How did he direct its leaders, those who led his people? And so we're going to start with a panoramic view, if you will, of the Old Testament as far as God's plan to establish his kingdom on earth. He chose the Jewish people, and through them, they were to be established and to be able to share the good news of salvation and hope with the world. And of course, unfortunately, they at that point in time were not faithful to serve him. They served other gods and they were dispersed among the nations. But God has never given up on his Jewish people. He is going to restore them, and there's going to be a great, great revival. And the Jews will eventually recognize that their Messiah, those who aren't serving him already, know that their Messiah has already come. So let's begin by looking at the life of Abraham. And to do that, we go to the book of Genesis, and there are some key scriptures I'd like for us to share. In the 13th chapter of Genesis, God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he tells him to go into a land that he will show them. So Abraham fully didn't really understand all that he was doing, but he by faith obeyed God and he went forth. So at 75, he departed with his family and his nephew Lot for the land of Canaan. And we see that in that 13th chapter of Genesis, there started to be strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and Lot's cattle, and they were a multitude of people. And so Abraham gives Lot first choice. He said, you choose the land that you want to live in, and if you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Lot made his decision. He chose the plain of Jordan. And then in verse 12 of chapter 13, it says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And this is what I'd like to share. In verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. That was important. He called Abram. He didn't call Lot for this particular task. After Lot was separated from him, this is what God said. He said, Abraham, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. This was a divine promise that God was giving the land of Canaan to Abram and his descendants, who would be countless in number. Praise God. And so we see also in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, let me just turn to that, where in that 11th chapter, we see in verse 10, the writer says, he looked, referring to Abraham, for a city which hath foundations, whose building and maker is God. Yes, there was a natural city that he was establishing the presence of what was to become the Jewish people in the land of Israel, but he was looking for that spiritual city. And in verse 19, as he further described about the saints, the martyrs who had gone before, in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Praise God. And so we also are looking for that city whose maker is not made, he made a city not made with hands. And that's what happens at the new birth. We are separated unto God, and we set out and are living, first of all, in the kingdom of God, but to be actual inhabitants of the heavenly Zion. And then in that, when Jesus comes back, we will be his people, and we will honor him, and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters the sea. We want to be looking at God's theme of promises. This is what he's promised. He's God and cannot lie, and it shall be accomplished. Well, I have much to share with you, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write the announcer for share our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, my partners, UCM family, and my radio family. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.